It is Wednesday, August 17, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you if you're just tuning in. In the tennis, the ATP event over in Cincinnati as we close in towards the US Open at Flushing Meadows, and some good results for our top two Aussies this morning. Nick Kyrgios has won in straight sets against Spaniard Alejandro Davidovich Fekina, 7-5, 6-4. Alex de Minaur has beaten his Swiss opponent, a qualifier, Henri Larksonen, 6-2, 6-2. But Tanasi Kokkinakis has gone down in three very tight sets. He was on court, in fact, for 3.25 hours against the world number 12, Jannik Sinner, before going down, 7-6 and 8-6 in the third set and deciding tiebreak. Joining us, though, now in the studio as we chat all things rugby league from the Daily Telegraph, the Big Sports Breakfast weekend co-host. He's got the back page of the paper today.
Geez, he's busy.
He accused Loz of wanting to give him a back scratch in the news break.
I needed a back scratch in the news break. Dean wouldn't do it for me.
Dean Ritchie, morning.
Good morning.
Wouldn't scratch his back, Dean.
Well,
Bulldog, come on.
I'm great friends with Laurie, but there's got to be some sort of boundaries.
Can stay above the jump. You don't have to go up inside.
Oh, well, my back's itchy, so I just needed someone to scratch it. Well,
just there.
I had to get the corner of the wall.
Like a dog.
He's got fleas. He's got fleas, Loz. It's that jumper he wears every day.
Clarky, it's good to be back.
It's nice to be back, Bulldog.
Bring a bit of class and dignity back to the show, because there are certain people on this panel who, when they're captain coach, don't lift the standards to the class that we desire at this wonderfully credible station.
Yeah, we set a high standard. Loz very rarely reaches it, but we do have a high standard in here.
Fair point.
But I would have scratched your back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, well, you
come
always
to
need someone to scratch your back.
Mm.
Get a back scratcher.
Where do I get that from?
You arrived at 7.
$2 shop. It wouldn't be around that many, around your exclusive parts, though, Laurie, where you live.
Tell me about the back page of the Telegraph today, Dean. Craig Fitzgibbon, 20-year deal.
Well, it's not
at the Sharks.
Officially a 20-year deal.
It's a good contract.
Steve Mace, I interviewed the chairman. Very, very good operator, Steve Mace, I might add. And he thinks that Fitzgibbon's a perfect fit for Cronulla. And he wants him there long term. He said he will be here for 20 years. That's how much confidence they've got in Fitzgibbon. I heard you guys this morning talking about it. Laurie potted my story, but we'll move on from that.
How many times did you ask? Because I know how this operates. You would have said, we want him long term. And you go,
How long?
Like five, 10. And he goes, well, I'm not sure. And then you would have said, no, just put a number on it. He goes, right, over 20.
Yeah.
And then you went, thank you.
There's
and then you would have slammed down the phone and then you went, I've got my story.
You've just got no idea how journalism works, do you?
That's exactly how you operate.
Do you think Steve would fall into that trap?
Oh, yes.
Is that an ex-player / coach scorn?
Yeah.
Or what?
It's nice to be taught about... Nice
that's how it works. Mate. I know you.
It's nice to be taught about journalism after 35 years from a football player. Anyway, before we were...
20s
so back, he just came out and said... 20-year deal, we're going to sign him.
Why 20? Right. How old's Fitzy? Is Fitzy 40 and he's going to be 60?
Yes. I think he was more getting to the point where...
he wants him long-term.
They want him long-term.
That's our point, though. We get that. Why did you write 20 years?
Oh, he said it, not me.
just leave the headline till he wants Fitzy long-term. No. Yeah. 20 smackaroos. Right on 20.
Well, let's get Steve on the line.
Yeah, good idea.
Are you glad Clarky's back?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Clarky, off you go.
I love that you got the exclusive, though. I like seeing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think everyone hopes that with Fitzy. I think he's
a long-term coach. This
and he's done a great job so far.
Yeah.
But very hard, I would imagine, like any role as a leader, very hard to really make a long-term call after your first year. I think it takes it's like when you start at the highest level. Your first year, a lot of people don't know that much about you. There's obviously whispers and they know your strengths and weaknesses to a certain extent, but over a period of time, as you've mentioned before, Loz, the highs and lows of coaching, that's when I think Fitzy's going to be judged. When the Sharks don't get off to a great start, or when they do go through a lot of injuries, that's when he's going to be judged the hardest. But looking at what he's done this season...
He's done a fantastic job.
Well, he's overachieved. Surely he's a chance of Coach of the Year.
I was just going to say, Coach of the Year candidates, Fitzgibbon would be a clear favourite.
Got to be.
Todd Payton.
Oh, clear favourite, Fitzy.
I think he would be.
He's got to be up there.
I think Todd Payton.
Payton would be second.
Well, yeah. Todd Payton would with the Cowboys, would have been in most people's bottom four. I don't think the Sharks would have been in the bottom four of most people. Yeah, they were a team on the rise.
Fair point.
Whereas the Cowboys were a team that were heading south rather than north.
Yeah, I think you're right, Loz. I think it's got to be Todd Payton.
I'll throw in a smoky.
Framing a market.
Kevin Walters won 7 from 24 last year. He's won 13 from 21 this year. He won't win it, but he should be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. And no doubt he's Fitz has done a great job as well.
Yeah.
But I think Todd Payton, for me, if we're doing it now, like...
Yeah.
The Sharks might finish on top of the table. Mm. You know, Penrith mightn't win another game and the Sharks might win their next three and all of a sudden, you know, they're sitting in second or can they finish first still?
I think they mathematically they can,
yeah.
But it would be unlikely.
But if they did, then you start to talk about Fitzy as being the coach of the year. But as it stands at the moment, I just see the Cowboys and where they were projected to finish compared to where the Sharks were, and I think that Todd Payton's done an outstanding job.
Did you have Fitzy in camp for country?
15 camp for country.
I thought you might have had him in there maybe as an assistant back then. I was just wondering whether there's an insight as to what makes him tick.
No.
Because they've got a rap on him as a bloke just as much as a coach.
Hmm.
And his ethics, his morals, the boundaries he sets, the standards
he look at the
sets.
Way he played, though, as well. Correct. He made the most of his talent, didn't he? He was tough. Like, I remember... I think I'd only just started playing for Australia, so we spent a lot of time with the Roosters with New South Wales around that precinct at the SCG. Fitzy was always the bloke that would come over and say hello or watch your train or want to talk to you about how the team was going. He was always interested in all the other sports. He was always a gentleman, very well respected.
Do you ask him in return?
Yeah, I love the Roosters, of course. Not as much as the Tigers, but I love the Roosters. But I think it was the way he played as well. Now you see that. That's why people respect him now as a, whether it was a player or a coach. He worked his backside off to get the best out of himself.
Got the best out of himself as a player. Yeah, he just worked really hard and obviously transitioned into coaching and had a great apprenticeship at the Roosters under Trent Robinson. And he's taken everything that he learnt over to the Sharks and they're having a wonderful, wonderful year. Led by Craig, but also the players that he's brought to the club. You talk about standards. Well, Cam McGinnis, Dale Finucane, and Nicho Hynes, they've lifted the standard of the Sharks and they're playing good football.
Are we getting ready, Loz, for a team outside the top four to potentially make the grand final and win it? Normally we're only talking top four, but we clearly now have the Roosters and the Bunnies who are steaming home.
What's going to happen at some point in time? I think someone will. And it possibly could be this year. You never know. But you look at all
those teams.
We're
talking about it more this year than normal, though, aren't we? Because generally, if you finish sixth or seventh, you're basically written off and dismissed. But
possibly
this year,
because the wheels, not that they've fallen off Penrith, but all of a sudden they're starting to get a few injuries
and
suspensions, although those players will be there. I still think Penrith will be hard to beat if they have their players available. But all the other teams, the Cowboys, Sharks, Storm, Rabbitohs, Roosters, Eels, Broncos, they're all similar ilk, really, aren't they?
Mm.
Yeah, Penrith are the standout. And then you've got these other teams that are capable of winning. Who knows? That's the exciting thing about playing a final series. You've got to get it right on the night and you've got to get it right for 4 weeks.
Tell you what it has done is it's really livened up the prospects in the finals. We thought a few weeks ago it would be Penrith by a country mile. Melbourne had lost three in a row. Parramatta were inconsistent. Roosters and Souths had been modest at best. But suddenly Melbourne's back. The Roosters, the Bunnies, the Cowboys are still being fairly consistent. So it's going to ensure what will be an absolute ripping final series.
It's going to be a beauty. Now, the Newcastle Knights and, Andre Pottinger was even quoted in the News Corp press earlier this week in regards to what his son Caelan was doing in the toilet cubicle with Kurt Mann the other night, saying that he made an exciting house purchase on Saturday, celebrated with mates, was unfortunately sick in the toilet and his mate went in to help him. So where does this all end up, particularly for Caelan Ponga?
Well, excuse me, the NRL integrity has taken over, which I think probably the Newcastle Knights would be grateful for. It saves them having to be the school taskmaster, yeah. So the NRL can now do it, and the Knights just fall into line behind that. Look, I don't think it'll go too much further. Look, it wasn't a good look. Everyone out there has got an opinion of what they think happened in the toilet. No one knows. There's no cameras in there. There are two people that know, and they have denied it. I guess we have to take them on their word in terms of an investigation. I think that they will avoid any major punishment. There might be a fine in there, but if Kalyn Ponga was sick in the toilet and Kurt Mann went in to help his friend, then you could argue, what have they done wrong?
Can I ask, though, Bulldog, if you're setting an example on player behaviour and player standards, if you have two players that are late for a bus that are stood down for a game and you have a player that stood down that swore at a trainer, you would argue that two players that are injured being out on the drink would be a far worse offence.
Well,
is that...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so when you say you don't think that he will be suspended...
I was more referring to major punishment.
Yeah, right.
All those three are adding to the problems that Newcastle have with their culture. I think that's becoming abundantly clear now that the Knights have issues up there. These incidents are happening far too regularly for them not to be accused of having a problem with their culture. Look, the Clemmer thing was disappointing. Tuala and Best was disappointing. Ponga, man, the list keeps going on. Mm. None of those are major incidents, and I'm not dismissing them as being trivial, but I'm just saying...
And if they were isolated events, 100%. Like the players not being on time for the bus, I mean, that's just one of these things where you go, boys, next time something will happen. But if they're trying to change the standards
straight
away...
It's three in a fortnight.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Three in a fortnight.
It's just compounded itself, and they've had to take action. But I was just interested when you said, you know, nothing might come of this. I'm thinking, well, hang on, something has to come of it because you've stood these two blokes down for missing a bus or being late for a bus. And what Kurt Mann and Kalyn did, being out on the drink while injured and not playing, is worse than not showing up for a bus on time.
Yeah, I probably didn't explain it properly. When I said nothing, I was more referring to anything major happening. There might be a fine in there. I can't see them being suspended unless... Yeah, they've been drug tested. If something comes back in the drug test, I'm just surmising. But look, we have to believe them on their word. It wasn't a good look. Perhaps Kalyn should know better as being the leader and the face of the club. His father, Andrew. Andre. I
love that bulldog. Keep going.
Should maybe just stay out of it. But it was good to have Andre back in our television screens again. I miss the big man.
Good stuff, Bullfrog. If you've got a question for Bulldog, give us a call, 1353 53 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. And Doggy, Corey Norman, it's been confirmed overnight, an 8-week suspension and a £500 fine for grade F contrary behaviour for putting his finger in an area he shouldn't in a match between Toulouse and Warrington in the UK Super League.
What do you say? Just a grubby act, isn't it? I spoke to his manager yesterday, Paul Sutton, who's a very, very good operator, and he claims it would be an accident. Corey's been a colourful figure off the field, but on the field his behaviour's been generally pretty good, so this would be a little bit out of context on field. Yeah, the vision seemed fairly clear when I looked at it, and the judiciary over there seemed fairly clear. 8 weeks is a fairly heavy suspension. Not forgetting Toulouse, there's four games left, Clarkey, in Super League, and they are running last. So they will more than likely be relegated. So not an easy loss.
That'll top it off.
And he hasn't got a contract for next year. So the timing of this is poor for Corey in terms of what it means to his club, whether they stay promoted in Super League, and for his future.
But me and Loz were confused this morning. Like, it looks like he must know the guy. Like, he gets up after doing it and has a bit of a chuckle, a bit of a laugh.
They'd had a running battle.
Yeah, okay.
For the previous 5 or 10 minutes. So they'd been at each other. So that was obviously the final act in the drama.
How are you ever thinking that?
I don't know.
No matter what your running battle is, how are you ever thinking about that? Surely it has to. Surely, like his manager said, he just didn't know his hand was there. Oh, I can't even. I can't comprehend it.
What rugby do you think?
Yeah, footy at its best. Seriously, Loz, your sport.
How good are we, rugby mate. League? Does it have any other sport?
And mate, you know the other thing that I thought about when I watched the footy. You got like you're playing Speedos. You got your shorts on and your Speedos on. Like, mate, you're scratching the surface. Get out of there. Get out of there.
I'd have to get graphic.
Yeah, but what are you thinking?
I don't know.
Surely you didn't think that when you were playing.
Never came across my mind.
Stuart's back at training this morning.
Unbelievable.
He is. For Canberra.
Yeah, the great man was back at 4 o'clock yesterday when his 1 week suspension concluded. And no doubt he'll come back full of beans, full of passion. Spoke to him a couple of times during his suspension. He took it easy. I think he might have ducked away for a night or two just to clear the old head. And he's got to get back quick, Rick, in terms of his side. There's still a big chance, Loz. They're 1 win outside the top eight. And they've got a pretty good draw, the Raiders. So they can really... We talk about the Roosters and the Bunnies, which is fine. But let's not write off the Raiders just yet.
Well, they've got Newcastle.
They could shock everybody and sneak in.
Well, it's a tough game against Newcastle because of what's happened up there this week. You know, they'll rally around each other, Newcastle. Raiders have to travel up there and... It's going to be tough for them, you know. But then they've got Manly, and they've got Manly at home, and Manly are without Jake, and we know the struggles that they're having since, you know, not wearing wearing those jerseys, but the 7 players pulling out of that game because of the Pride jersey. And then they finish off with the West Tigers. So they're 3 winnable games for the Raiders. And if they win those games and teams in front of them stumble, well, they will get there.
$5 top 8, the Raiders. The Roosters are $1.08 and obviously only 1 win ahead of them at the moment.
The problem with the Raiders is they're 4 and against.
Yeah, so it's essentially 2 games behind.
If they don't win those 3, they don't deserve to be there.
No, that's exactly
Tigers last, Manly chaos, and Knights disaster at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, they should be winning the 3 games.
They're just aside if they did sneak in that you wouldn't want to play, Loz. I mean... Clearly, you don't want to play near the top 8 because they're there for a reason, because they're good football teams. But the Raiders have just got a little bit of that, maybe that little bit of that X factor, a bit of toughness. And you just think, if I could avoid them, I'd prefer to.
Yeah, well, you know that, it's the best
way. You know Ricky will have them wound up.
Yeah, just they'll be more than competitive. You know, they'll be in your face and they'll be, you know, causing errors and, yeah, just doing things that you just don't want to come up against in a semi-final. You know, that tough defensive system that they'll come out of the line and they'll put you under pressure, and if execution is not great, you'll force yourself into error, and then you'll compound one error with two, and then you get frustrated, and they can frustrate a team in a big game, Canberra.
There was a suggestion that Ricky might have been on the sideline last week in Vic the Vikings mascot outfit.
I heard that rumour.
Imagine that.
They checked it out.
Got him near the bench and got him near his players. Very wise. No one would have known.
Source said.
Will Latrell Defoe.
Well placed, sources, Clarkie. Yeah. Well placed. Yeah.
20-year deal. Victor the Viking.
Friend of the couple. Close friend of the family.
I want Steve Mace on this program.
Well, get him on. I've got his number.
Macy. Oh,
I want to see where he said
20 years.
20 years.
20-year contract.
What do you think when they're quoted as close friends of
I think
Clark?
It's an absolute load of rubbish.
Right, okay.
I'd like to see any source said write their name or say their name. Or the journo write their
By
name.
By the way, when you're away, I did take the liberty, I hope you don't mind, of paying the money so you can join the Journalist Union.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So am I in?
Yeah, you're in.
How long is my membership for?
1 year.
Perfect.
4-1-2.
When does he have to hold the plaque up?
4-1-2.
4-1-2.
When's his first march?
Perfect. What do I get? Do you get a free T-shirt or what?
No. You just got to support the media.
Okay.
Back them every time when you're on radio.
Yeah, they still march. They still go out.
Oh, I don't
know. Do they put their pens down and walk out? What do they do?
I'd be too lazy to walk.
In a word, does Latrell Mitchell play tomorrow night?
Yes. I spoke to Jason Dimitro. It's tightness in the groin, nothing more, unless they're playing silly buggers. I don't think Demetrio does that.
Tell me someone hasn't got it.
Geez, I hope he doesn't play tomorrow. He'll be quite firm with no. Yeah, he'll play.
Well, I'm only based on what the coach tells me, and he said he'll 100% play. So if he doesn't play, blame him.
Blame the coach.
Blame me. Blame Stephen Mace.
Blame a tight groin. Tell me a dude that hasn't got a tight groin.
Well, thank you, Clarky. On that note, I think I'll...
7:30. Good night.
Can you do an in-depth follow-up on Corey Norman tomorrow? Thank you, Bulldog.
Thank you.
Wins this morning for Alex De Minaur and Nick Kyrgios in the opening round of the ATP event in Cincinnati. Unfortunately, Tanasi Kokkinakis lost to the world number 12, Jannik Sinner, in three very tight sets and 3.25 hours on court. Now, in about an hour's time, stay tuned. We're going to speak to 18-year-old Mannix Hunt, who, Loz, you saw this story, plays for the Barcaldine Sand Goannas. Mm. This is in central Queensland. Now, Barcaldine, you're talking up near Longreach. So that's about 1,070 k's Barcaldine from Brisbane, a 12-hour or so drive. Anyway, the local team there, the San Goannas, at the start of the season, they were struggling to get players, and the club was essentially going to fold. And Mannix was 17 at the time, basically got a whole heap of people together and saved the club himself, became captain coach, 5 teams in the comp, and they've won the comp.
Unbelievable.
They beat Blackhall 14-10 in the grand final. He's 18 now, so he's had his first drink.
I'm looking forward to having a yarn to him, you know, because that's outstanding work, isn't it? When you're a young 17-year-old, you love your footy that much. The town looks as though they can't get a team together and they need someone to captain coach. They need someone to organise. The whole family got in behind him and all of a sudden they put a team out there and they went on and won. It was their first competition they've won in a long while. So you can only imagine the celebrations around town and how excited they were. And well done to young Mannix, because without him, they wouldn't have a footy team and they certainly wouldn't have won a grand final.
Yeah, they've celebrated hard, apparently. So good on them. So stay tuned for that chat. It is coming up in an hour's time. After 8 o'clock this morning, we'll speak to Damien Cook, South Hooker as well. But coming up shortly, well, we got the NRLW season times two for season 2022 in. Reminder that, the season finished April 10. That was the postponed 2021 season, which couldn't go ahead due to COVID. So they played it earlier this year and the Roosters won the grand final there in, I think it was at the Redcliffe's home ground there at Moreton Stadium. In fact, they beat the Dragons 16-4 and Corbin Maxter was the captain at the time. She's off to have a child. So stepping up as captain is Isabel Kelly and she's coming up next. Yes, the season starts for the Roosters against Parramatta, 1 p.m. Combank Stadium on Saturday. And joining us is the Roosters captain, Isabel Kelly. Isabel, good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
What does it mean to you to take over from Corbin Baxter and lead this team?
Yeah, it's a massive privilege, I think, just being, you know, part of the Sydney Roosters family and being known now as a captain is super humbling. But, yeah, I'm really excited to get out there on Saturday.
Does your role change much, Isabel, with this leadership, or do you feel like you keep doing the same thing, you just got that C beside your name?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of a natural leader, you know, and I have been for a long time now, and I've just always kind of been like a vice captain and always been waiting for this next role to step up and take the captaincy. But I think I'm someone that definitely likes to lead by example out on the field, so I'm just hoping that the girls will follow me, and they're a great bunch of girls, so I'm sure that they will.
Yeah, well, interesting, Isabel, because we've been talking about leadership, and in particular in regards to Newcastle Knights and the lack of leadership and what leadership looks like. To you, what does leadership look like? It's not only just on the field, is it off the field, all-encompassing? How do you look at a leadership position?
Yeah, I think it's super important, especially in the women's game, as it's such a new platform and there can be quite a lot of pressure on some young girls and everything. But I also see it as that they need to have someone off the field that they can go to and feel comfortable talking to if they have any issues, or just someone that, you know, if they need a bit of a boost, they can get that confidence. But yeah, I think it's really important to also know what gets the girls going, gets them ticking, and can really, you know, make them the player that they need to be on the day. So I really like to get to know all the girls and make sure that I can do that for them. But like I said, I love leading by example, and I love getting out there and doing everything or having that extra run. So, yeah, I think the girls see that when I do that. But, yeah, it comes in so many different forms. But, yeah, basically everything that I just said.
What about extra pressure from obviously the success you had at the start of the year, beating the Dragons? Do you feel that extra pressure now coming into this year?
I think the women's comp is so unpredictable. I think everyone has noticed that the last few years, but I don't think we really feel too much pressure, which is a good thing because there is so many girls that have swapped around this year within gone into different teams, like the Knights. And I think that's, you know, also a massive story within itself within women's rugby league. So there's a lot of new stories. So we're not feeling too much pressure, which is good. And I think that's, you know, the best thing for us. But at the same time, I always say that pressure is, you know, also a great thing. It brings out things in people and teams that they might not know that they had in themselves.
We're speaking with Isabel Kelly, the NRLW captain of the Roosters. And Isabel, you had the Origin victory for the Blues there in July. But tell us overall what the impact of, I guess, the shorter gap between seasons has been and how you've had to readjust your lives, not away from the game as well.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind this year with having the NRLW obviously at the start of the year and then Origin, and now we're back in NRLW. But this is what we love. We love to play footy. We love to be, you know, putting our best foot forward and being up on the main stage. And I think we showcased that within the first season that people love watching women's rugby league, and especially in State of Origin, the amount of people that tuned in there. So, yeah, it's a bit of a whirlwind. You know, everything's, you know, kind of going and happening. But at the same time, we're very honoured and privileged that we get to have this much footy in 1 year. And it's only going to get better every year that it goes on. Every time that we're playing good products. People are going to buy in more, and then hopefully in the next few years we have a full-time competition.
I was about to ask you, Isabel, if I could ask you about an ideal world in the next 5 years for NRLW. What does it look like in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's definitely being full-time. You see as the comp grows and the girls are training more and within the team environment more, how much the product has improved. And I think if we keep on that track and we keep slowly building towards the full-time product, I think that's going to be exactly what it should be. I'd love for young girls to come through the pathways and then, you know, transition into full-time athletes like the men. And I think that's what it will deserve. In a few years, it's still building, obviously. We're still getting more teams. We're lucky enough to have four new teams next year. But, yeah, I'm hoping for it to be full-time for those girls.
When you say full-time, Isabel, do you mean you want every team that we see in the NRL, for example, have a female team as well?
Yeah, that would be awesome. But, yeah, at the moment, it's obviously a bit hard because we don't have as many girls playing at that standard that we need. And like I said, that's got to build quite slowly. And it has, and I think the product is definitely getting there. But, yeah, I'd love to see every team have a team, like, you know, a women's team. But at the same time, it's like you don't want to overdo it and then it goes backwards. So even if it wasn't every single team, I think that would be awesome, even if the girls were training full-time during the day and then going home like the men do.
Do you feel there's enough stock in regards to quality of players for these four new teams to come in next season?
Next season, yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting season. I think there's obviously a lot of new women that will have to come into the competition, but it's super exciting at the same time for all those clubs like Canberra. I'm super excited for them. But, yeah, I think they're going to have to find some girls, and I think a lot of girls from Crosscodes will also come over to play, which is great for our sport, as we've seen with some of the Union and Sevens girls that have come over. But, yeah, it's going to be... it's going to be interesting, but at the same time, it's super exciting.
Isabel, of course, you've got to combat increased scrutiny as your profiles and your exposure gets a lot bigger, which is certainly happening now. And I see the Broncos winger Julia Robinson has had to endure, well, low lifes on social media, just commenting on her physique, which is outrageous because she looks absolutely incredible. Tell us about, I guess, you know, yourself and others and you know, tolerating that sort of behaviour and what you have to endure.
Yeah, I've been through that before. I've been in the game since I was 18 and I'm now 25. So I've dealt with that a bit, and it's just getting used to it and kind of blocking it out. But, yeah, obviously the thing about Julia is So just left field, it doesn't make any sense because she's one of the hardest working athletes within our game. But yeah, it's just something that we've got to get used to, and you see it every day in the men's game. But we're lucky that we get the media training and we get people coming in and talk to us so that the new girls coming through aren't just exposed to it straight away, that you know, they get the training with how to deal with it.
What excites you about your team this year compared to early in the season? Has there been much turnover of play?
Yeah, we lost a couple of girls to Newcastle just because that's purely where they're based and it was too much travel. But I'm super excited to see Destiny Brill. She's someone that we've signed and she'll be playing hook for us. She's only young. I think she's 19, but she's played in the State of Origin for a few years now. She's absolutely killed it. And then our veteran, Sam Bremner, has just come back from having two babies. So she'll be playing fullback, filling Corby's shoes, and I think she's going to just do amazing. And it's awesome for her to come back because it just showcases that women can have babies and fight their way back to the big time, to the NRL.
What are you expecting from Parramatta this week? Because I think there was only a point between you last time you met.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. First game is always the toughest, I feel. You don't really know what to expect of the opposition because there is a lot of player movement that happens within the NRLW. But yeah, they're going to be tough. They've got a good middle pack, a few girls that are quite experienced within there with Mima and Mina that have played State of Origin. So I think they're going to be quite tough there. But it's just going to be, I think, a big grind match with them and just who wants it more, basically, at the end of the day.
Really appreciate your time, Isabel. Looking forward to seeing you back on the park this weekend and for the upcoming season. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Isabel Kelly there, the Roosters NRLW captain, and she mentioned how unpredictable the competition is. We only have to look at the odds for who's going to take it out. The grand final is the same day as the men's grand final on October 2, the Sunday as well. And the Roosters are joint favourites with the Dragons. They, of course, played in that grand final, 16-4 it was back in April. And they're both $3.50 at the top of the betting. Brisbane, $4.50. Newcastle, who've made some significant signings, as Isabel touched on. And Millie Boyle, who was the co-Dally M winner of the season that's just finished as well. $6.50 are the Knights on the fourth line of betting. Then you got the Titans at $8 and Parramatta $9. So a compressed market there for the upcoming NRLW season and four teams coming in next year. Who would have thought, say, even 10 years ago, you'd have 10 women's teams competing in an NRLW competition? This has been
exciting times, isn't it?
It's great to watch in the avenue. When you're just flicking through the channels, Sunday afternoon, you find yourself watching it for a considerable period of time.
It's exciting times for all women's sport in this country, because there's a lot more investment in it now than ever before, and so there should be. And young girls have always loved watching rugby league, but they never really had the opportunity or a pathway for them to push forward. And now they have that, and it is a slow build, and there's another four teams coming into their competition next year, and eventually it will be standalone. We see the games on television now. It's very well received. The skill level is high, and it will only get better, the more they're allowed to practice and showcase their skills, and the girls get interested and a bit more money into the sport, and it will become full-time at some point. Now, I don't know whether that'll be in 2 years or 5 years, but you know that it's heading down that path, and this will be a major sport on its own. NRLW.
Brad Davidson, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone.
Now, I know you love any additional information for the punters, and the Australian Turf Club is coming to the fore with this new, weather, wind and track information, live information, as part of a new digital service.
Yes, that's correct, Jared. I've been talking about it for some time, and good to see it being introduced from this Saturday onwards. That'll be at Rose Hill, Randwick and at the Kensington meetings to start with, and then it'll be rolled out for Warwick Farm and Canterbury longer term as well. So you're right, get that live information, which is terrific to know how much rain has fallen at those tracks, the wind at certain parts of those tracks, and also a number of live information about the track as well. So I think it's going to be updated around every 15 seconds as well. So I can't tell you, Jared, how many times in the last 5 years I've Googled the live camera there at Allison Road on Google just to see if there's been any rain at the track at night and whatnot when the fronts come through. So this information will be really good for punters and We'll be able to just track it basically whenever we want. So any addition like this for punters is fantastic, and well done to the Australian Turf Club for this initiative, and I'm sure it'll be well received by all.
What's the latest news on Mugger 2, Davo?
Yeah, Loz finished down the track there on the weekend, and look, the team just summing up their options at the moment. Led from one nostril, I believe. They found that afterwards, and just sort of deciding now, or the decision to be made later this week on the horse's future and whether they press on or whether they decide to retire the horse. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. He's been a great horse for Connections for some time. Of course, won an All-Star Mile, and early on when he first arrived in Australia, he put a few together on the trot and looked like he was going to be probably one of the best horses in the country. And look, he's turned into probably just be a length or two off that absolute elite, but he's still been a super horse for Connections. Obviously, he was off the long break there on the weekend and finished down the track. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. But we'll see if they continue to race on or decide to retire the horse later this week.
Who makes that call, Dave? The final decision.
Yeah, a lot of the times it'll come down to the trainer. Most owners are pretty sort of, will let the trainer sort of make those calls, Clarkie. Okay. Some owners will, if they don't like the call, they'll take the horse off the trainer and can take it to another stable. But yep, a lot, particularly with a galloper like that's been so successful under that trainer, they'll let that trainer make that call and sort of respect that decision.
Are you ready to get trigger happy on anything when the final field markets come out today for the Winx Stakes on Saturday? Animo, gee, $2.50 all in.
Yeah, he's short, isn't he? We're there with the big weight. But look, he's a class galloper, we know that. And he's been able to show that over the last 12 or so months. He's been super, hasn't he, really, against the older horses and to see what he's done. But yeah, I look forward to looking at this race each and every year. One thing I'll say is generally, there's a horse at big odds that runs well in this race every year. And sometimes it's a first up horse, or sometimes it might be one that's trying to catch the others first up on the hop a little bit, because we know it's generally a race full of class horses, but class horses not at their suitable trip or just kicking off their campaign. So generally it's a race right up for grabs. So, and we'll be looking, have a good look at the data and the way the race sits up later today and see if there's anything we can find to beat Animo first of all, or whether he looks a good thing and worth a bet. So we'll assess all that later today.
So true, Dave. I was just thinking, actually, I remember a horse running well at big odds last year, then had a great spring. She's Ideal was the horse.
Yeah.
It was $51 last year, ran a bottler.
Yeah, that was the one that came to mind for me. That's the reason I made the comment, is she tends to run really well in this race. So you're right, it seems to be one of those that that if they're trialling well enough, they can be out the back and hit the line strongly and a real good chance of causing an upset. It seems to be a race where there's not a great deal between a few of these, obviously. When you get your really good horses, they can dominate. But at this time of the year, I think it'll be a bit of a blanket finish personally. But we'll wait to see how all the figures stack up later on.
What's your best at Canterbury today, mate?
Yeah, I've gone race 3, number 1, Star Spark Loz, 1,600 up to 1,900 metres. But he just looks to dominate the race out in front. I like the way he's going. He seems to carry weight well. And I think that the drying track should suit him. Like, he seems to get through soft pretty well. I don't think it'll be too bad there today at Canterbury. I know it's taking a little while to dry, but I just think straight to the front and hard to run down. They're the style of horses I want to be on race 3, number 1, Star Spark.
I'll have a price for the listeners after the news, because those markets just being readjusted for scratchings as we speak. Davo, have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.